Greg and Bridget and Claire and Connor, it's awesome to see you guys today, and we are so blessed to just be with you and be church family with you. It's awesome. So if you're a guest with us today, we're not normally like this. If you're watching online, usually we try to be pretty joy-filled, and but we're mourning the loss this week of our 19-year-old Ryan, and I want to address that today, just in this time. I think it's really important. We'll just kind of push off our series a little bit, another week, and pick it up later. But I think there are times when a church just needs to come together. And I thought this might be a good Sunday for this. And y'all can't really see it from where you're at, but there's a long rope. It's 100 feet because I just bought it. On this, just all over here. And just imagine this goes on forever and ever and ever, right? And it's a timeline of your life. And if you see this, this is your beginning. This is the day you were born, okay? If you can, I don't know, it's all black back here, but this is it, and this is your, this whole black part here represents your time on earth. And this is your time in eternity. And it just goes on and on and on. We've all been blessed with this part, right? I didn't even intend the black versus the white. There's symbolism in that. I get it. But if you think about how we live this part right here and what we focus on in this world, this is our timeline right here on earth. And if you think about most of us, the natural tendency is you get a play for this part right here, right? You're not really responsible. You're just growing up. You're 2 years old. Somebody's feeding you. You're all good. But at a certain point, this massive chunk, when you're really accountable, you're the one really responsible for your lives, what do we dedicate it to? And for so many people, you know what they do? They dedicate it to this little bit right here. Right at the end. Like all of this, we dedicate it to this little part right here where we get to quit and we get to travel. We have these dreams that this will all happen, right? We just assume it's going to happen. And we dedicate this to this little bit. And the question would be, what if we took this chunk here and we said this little thing right here could be great, but look at all this. What if we spent that time on earth preparing ourselves and preparing others for something that's going to last so much more than this tiny little speck? And the reason I bring that up today is we don't know how long this thing lasts right here. We know the right words. We don't understand how long this lasts. I don't have a concept of eternity. I just know it goes on and on, but it's really good. Most things that go on and on and on and on and on, like we get exhausted with them, not this. And so I look at this. And maybe God's talking to you today, and there's conviction that I've put all my marbles into this so I can live for this moment right here. And maybe God's going to tell you, this isn't that big of a deal compared to all of this. Maybe I'm going to adjust the way I prioritize things in my life, the relationships in my life, the way I give, the way I serve, what I'm saving for. Maybe I need to be responsible, but maybe I don't need to be luxurious right here. And maybe I have other things to sow into. But the other thing, and my real hope for this is, we'll see this with Ryan. We'll see this with any of our loved ones. Is there's this, and it is dark. But there's this, and there's no darkness in this. And it just goes on and on. And it's truly encouraging to think about the length of eternity. I want to talk today just about the realities of our week and kind of where it leaves us. And so we're going to talk a little bit about just some truths about specifically Ryan, some truths about God, and some truths about us. And that's how this is going to go today. So the first thing I want to do is give three really important truths about Ryan Healy. The first one is this. Ryan is alive. Okay? Now, the reason we're all hurting is because, and I'm going to say it out loud for us, Ryan died. We can say Ryan is dead. Ryan died. But we know that even if that's true, we know Ryan is alive. This whole timeline, this little part right here, this is the part that's over, so that he can have this. And I would say when Ryan is alive, Ryan is more alive today than he's ever been, ever living on earth, because he knows Jesus. So he's alive. See, we are body, soul, spirit. Paul, the Apostle Paul, talked about our bodies. And man, do we worship our bodies, right? I mean, we pick at everything. We don't like this, we like that. But you know what Paul called our bodies? In Scripture, he said it, these tents that you're in. He talked about the body as just a shell. A tent is something you go stay in for a season, for a moment, for a night, for whatever. And those tents get torn up over the years. They sometimes they get replacements. And that's true with our bodies. But the identity of a person is not the body. The identity is actually the soul. Ryan's soul never died. At all. His body, his flesh, that broke down. But his soul is very much, very much alive. And it leads us to our second point. Number two, Ryan is with Jesus. That soul gets to go be with Jesus. And not just for this moment, he's like at this little spot right here. You can't see it. Like, seriously, if you put eternity into this thing, we wouldn't be able to see a speck. This is where he's at, alive with Jesus. And it's remarkable. We think he's the one that is missing out on everything. Guys, he's out of this thing. He's in this. This is amazing. Apparently, I'm going to keep using this. I'm going to keep it up here. There is a scripture. It's a scripture y'all know. And it's used in one of the darkest moments. And I think we got to look at it real quick. It's in Luke. It's at the end of the Gospel of Luke. The thieves are on the cross next to Jesus. And, their pain is something we can't even possibly imagine. It's immense, the physical pain, let alone the trauma of, their mothers are watching their sons be crucified, the death sentence for crimes they committed are in Jesus, And here's what it is. This is Luke 23. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked the first criminal, saying, "Don't you fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we're receiving the due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Even the criminals know that. Everybody knew that. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Today, there is no purgatory. There is no holding place where you gotta wait it out. As soon as Ryan's eyes shut for the last time, he got to go be with Jesus, alive. His soul is with Christ. It's just the body. That's what was left. And that was a tent. And that body, by the way, 1 Corinthians 15, we know that thing is going to get restored. And it's not going to be to what it's been, like even at his peak. It's going to be far greater. Seriously, all those weird organs, you ever thought about that? The tonsils, the spleen, like those things that don't do anything. They have purpose. They're going to have purpose. So, and don't worry if you got it removed. He'll just recreate it for you. You're good. It's awesome. Ryan is alive. Ryan is with Jesus. And three, Ryan is overjoyed. I love the scripture that Valisa shared, but he's overjoyed. There is a scripture I'm somewhat pulling out of context, but it gives us a picture of what Ryan woke up to. Okay, you ready for this? This is Revelation 7. John is writing this, so that's why he says I here. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. All they're doing is celebrating here. And they're crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels who were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." This is Ryan's experience. This is what he's in. It's like the most natural thing. It's actually, he's alive. He's with Christ, and he's overjoyed. That's his reality. Okay. I want to turn it for a moment. I want to talk about God. Because what we can do is get angry at God. Is that fair? Is that right? Well, just a couple truths about who God is. And the first one is this. God is good. He's good. There's an old church. I don't know if St. Paul's ever done. I don't think I've ever been part of a church that does it. And I want to. Maybe we'll start doing this. I don't know. But where one person says God is good, and the congregation says all the time, God's good. That's it. He is good. We see when things happen that we don't like and we cringe and we're like, God, why? And we're too smart to actually say it out loud, but we're like, God, it would be better if, right? And we give him our advice. God is good. His foundations are good. His feet are furnished in that bronze. He's good. His character is so good. It's like his love is good. There's nothing in him that's against us. There's nothing in him that is not good. His standard, his intentions, everything about him, his actions are good. Lots of bad things happen in this world. Satan is not good. And it's really easy to, because you have this God who can do anything, to attribute everything that happens to him. Well, God is good. Satan is not. But God is good. We have this, the world, especially outside the church, has this view of God that God is this angry judge who just looks at them waiting to catch them doing something so they can feel bad about themselves. Read the Bible. God is not that. God is good all the time. He's the miracle maker. He does things on our behalf all the time. This is who he is. So number one, God is good. Number two, God is the omni-God. Okay, this is going back to some of y'all's catechism, right? But he's the omni-God, the all-God. Do you remember these three words? Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's all. All-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's present in all places. This is who God is. He's good. Think about this. Break these out for a moment. He's all-knowing. What does it mean for God to be all-knowing? It means he has supreme wisdom. He thinks things through. He's plot with the perfect mind. Have you ever been around somebody who's noticeably smarter than yourself? Have you? And you're like, you better off. Come on. Never mind. There's somebody here going, no. But for the rest of us, when you're around somebody smarter than yourself, you're like, wow, this guy's really fast, or she is really quick. Like, wow. And you notice how much greater somebody, a God who has supreme wisdom, smarter than any of us, put together. That's our God. He's wise. He also has supreme sight. He sees things. He even sees things before they happen. God's not caught off guard when bad things happen. He has this supreme sight. He has this supreme big picture. Like he sees things that we don't. Even those of us who think we think geometrically, we're always like seeing the sides and everything that's going all around. We don't. We live in like a 2D, 3D world, and God has all these other aspects that he sees. Like, this is just him. He's good, but he's all-seeing. He's all-powerful. There's not an entity in this world that can stymie him. There's nothing that can come up and actually defeat him. The one time Satan thought he defeated Jesus was the biggest loss of his life. It's the end of him. It's already written now. Jesus resurrected. By the way, that resurrection of Jesus, Apostle Paul, calls that the first fruits. That Jesus was the first to be resurrected, because the rest of us who know Jesus, we too shall be resurrected. Our bodies will be resurrected to join our souls, our spirits that are already with Christ, overjoyed. See, God is all powerful. And the third is God is all present. He's never absent from us in our struggles. He's never absent. You never have to, if you ever had the trauma as a child of crying in a store because you can't find your parent, you don't do that with God. He's with you. God is present because he loves you, because he's good. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's present with you. And the final truth I just want to give about God is perfect. We see things that happen that we don't like. And we wonder, maybe, did something go wrong in heaven? What happened there? Those are the thoughts we might be having or tempted to have. But I can tell you this, God doesn't miscalculate. He doesn't make mistakes. He just doesn't. Satan has this leash of freedom that's for a season. And that's not unjust. Just real briefly, we sin. Therefore, the penalty of our sin, like, we've chosen sin. Therefore, we really should be receiving the full wrath of God upon us. But that's what Jesus did. He actually stepped in and took that for us. So we're actually receiving quite the reprieve. Satan is still loosed, as Scripture says, he's loose here on earth. And so, yeah, he wins some of these battles. Sure, he does, but God is amazing. God is still perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't fail. He can't fail. It's not in his character to fail. His grace doesn't fall short. When you're a God who's perfect and loves and is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, you're everywhere. Like, you realize that God is good. And this, we might not like it from our perspectives. Now, from Ryan's perspective, you gotta love it. You really do. The easiest thing is to say, but he's gonna miss out on this and this in his life. Do you think he's thinking about missing out right now? He's not. At all. That's us. That's us in our little 2D or 3D world, just, but for him, God is absolutely perfect. So Ryan is more alive than ever. He's with Jesus and he's overjoyed. God is perfect. He's good. And he knows all things and sees all things, and he has power over all forces of darkness. So that leaves us with you and me. Let's talk about us for a moment. We are obedient. We are obedient in prayer. And St. Paul Westport, I want to tell you, you guys rocked. These prayer requests for 10 months, you guys were amazing. You didn't fail either. Our role, we've said this, our role is to be obedient and to just go to God in prayer. We're going to stand in the gap. We believe there's only one way, and it's for healing for Ryan. This is how we stood. We took a stand. There was going to be no plan B. We weren't going to talk about other options. We were just going to stand. This is what we're called to do. And we did it. You guys, you did it. And I want to thank you for that. It's absolutely remarkable. I don't know if this was, I don't think it was on a Sunday. I don't know where, but sometime recently we were talking, whoever it was, it's probably some of y'all, and I just made the comment, like, can you imagine when we, our souls, get to have that today, you will be with me in paradise, and we get to go be with Jesus, and our minds get opened up, and every prayer you ever prayed, you're going to see connections. All of a sudden, these lines, like a big confusing, you know, the power lines going everywhere, right? And it's all going to start to make sense when people prayed for you. And you're going to see what times you prayed for others, and you're going to see how God moved by every single prayer. This is important. Something I, when talking with the Healy's, like, it was so cool because I hope I can share this, Greg. The Bunker Hill, may I? So, Greg said this reminds me of something, and this is, and he just, like, it was a bit of a comparison, like, it's spiritual side, but to the Battle of Bunker Hill in the Revolutionary War. You know, we lost that on Breed's Hill, right? I assume on the July 4th, y'all are Americans today, but we lost the battle. But the British lost so many supreme military leaders, some of their very best, quite a few. They lost a ton. It actually had a major impact. Even though officially the Americans lost, so much damage was done to the other side. And it feels like we lost this battle because we've been praying for 10 months. It feels like maybe we lost this. But I think on the spiritual side, when you peel back the layers and you see what just if it was contained to right here, to one church praying for Ryan, Satan suffered blows, significant blows. The thing is, though, the globe was praying. I would get multiple emails from different, it might be different missionaries, but you know, Esther's father in Panama, I mean, just different people emailing and saying, like, we are praying for Ryan every single day. There were global networks of prayer networks that the Healy family are in that literally wrap around this earth. Don't think for a moment. It feels like maybe we lost that battle. this is significant. The spiritual significance is there. So St. Paul Westport, we are obedient in prayer. The second truth I want to give you is that we are thankful. I'm not thankful that it feels like we lost that battle, but here's what I am. I'm thankful for a God who is so good and so loving, and I'm thankful for the time I personally had with Ryan. And here's the thing. As followers of Jesus, we will choose, and it's absolutely a choice, to be more thankful for the things that God has given us than the things that we have lost. We're going to be more thankful for the things we have than the things we have lost. That's important. And here's how grieving works. Grieving is just not linear. It's just not. There are moments where the really awesome person of God in you comes up and you're just thankful and you're praising Jesus, thanking him for Ryan in this case, for someone we miss. And then we don't know what happens, but all of a sudden we flipped and we're just grieving, we're weeping, we're just distraught. We don't understand. We want why. We're sitting here, right? And then we're back to here. And then we're back over there. And it just kind of this, like, it's this wave, if you're on a boat, that just kind of goes back. It's just not linear for us. Here's the thing. That's okay, and you have permission to be in both of those places. Because there's something natural about healing. But when we fixate, and humans, we fixate all the time. We're excellent fixators. What you want to do is fixate when you're here, when you're being thankful. Because when we fixate when we're distraught, that turns into bitterness. It turns into anger. And we don't want to be that. We can recognize those times when we emotionally feel this way. We don't have to pretend like we don't. We actually do feel this way. It's okay. But we will not fixate on that. We're going to swing back and we're going to make conscious choices, even when we're feeling that way, to thank Jesus. Amen. And the greatest way to thank Jesus is worship. When you worship, and if it's a Tuesday morning and the church, nobody's here to play music for you, turn it on. Turn it on in your office. Turn it on in your house. Sing. You're like, I don't sing out loud. Sing. Be thankful to the Lord because he's good. Because we are thankful and we're far more thankful for the things we have than the things we've lost. And the final truth about us is that we're confident. We're absolutely confident in God and in what he has for us. We're confident in the destiny that he's written into our lives. We're confident that he has a good destiny for each of us. And I'm not just talking about this thing here, and especially so we can get to this little spot here. We're confident. Our journeys, they all look different. Every person's journey is unique to himself, to herself. But the destination, God's will is that all people be saved, that all people come to know Jesus, repent of their sins, follow after God, and get this, forever and ever. And so our journeys, this little thing on an endless rope, might look one way, but we're confident in the destiny that God's written for us because it's good. And our God is good. So church, we grieve. We're sad. We can be. We get to be sad and we get to hurt. But we also know that we're sad for ourselves. Ryan, he's alive. He's with Christ. He's really, really, really happy. And we praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. God is good. Let's pray. Would you stand? God, we bless you today and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence here with us. You are so worthy, so wonderful, so good. God, bring comfort, bring peace. Bring that to us. Bring yourself to us. God, we're not going to ask for a quick fix to feeling okay. We want a deep sown relationship with you. That's what we're asking for now. So sit with us, walk with us, be our God. We love you. We trust you. We bless you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.